2 Timothy 4, a passage that we're very familiar with by now, and I just want to share something that's a help to me, and I trust it'll be a help to you, something for us to remember. As a younger man, I heard the basic point that I want to get across today. I heard it taught, preached, believed it to be true, preached it myself. But as you men could testify, many of you, the older you get, the more real these things become and the urgency in all of these things. And so 2 Timothy 4, let's read verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. We're familiar with that verse. Often they're called Paul's last words. It's not his last words, the most famous words perhaps. Been preached on many times this week. We understand the importance of course, it's the theme of the week. But I want to draw our attention this morning to verse number 6, where he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." I want to speak on the thought of the time that is coming, preparing for the days ahead. When you think of the Apostle Paul, and he says, "I'm now ready to be offered," as has already been preached this week more than once, he got to the place where he's looking. He knows he's going to be with the Lord very soon. And he could look back on his life, and he could give testimony in verse number 7. I trust, and we would have probably said this before Monday, but I trust that it's been reiterated in all of our hearts this week, that this is the testimony that we want to have. When it is our time, when God is ready to take us home, we've finished our course, we've kept the faith, we've fought the good fight, our testimony. But we look at this and say, Paul is looking ahead to the future. And it's certainly true. Verse number 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. He's already looking forward to the crown because of the testimony in verse number 7. He's imagining this, he's picturing this in his mind. Men, when we get weary, we get discouraged, and we're tempted to make that little change. Let's think about the time when we're going to be with our Lord, and there's a crown. And this wonderful thought about getting a crown, don't you like to get acknowledgments and trophies and all those things? No, Pastor Neil, it's just about playing the game. Well, I like to win if I'm going to play. Brother Sellers found that out the hard way when we were both coaching. But you know, but that's beside the point. You know, but think about the Lord. It's not just the crown. It's what it represents and who's giving it. Oftentimes, and often thought of, he's looking ahead. He's looking ahead. He's looking ahead. He is preparing for the days ahead, but he's not preparing himself for the days ahead as much as he's preparing Timothy for the days ahead. He's run his race. He's finished his course. He said, I've kept everything, and that crown, I see it. He's preparing for those days. He knows what is waiting him. But he's already run his race. The crown is waiting. He's going to be with his Lord. He's preparing those that come behind him. I want to finish my course. I want to keep the faith. I want to fight the good fight. Because when I enter the presence of my Savior, boy, I want to hear desperately, well done. Well, none of us are doing it perfect. All of us have stumbled along the way. But I want to finish. I want to finish my course. But another motivation in that, and we see it in the life of the Apostle Paul, he was always aware of those that were coming behind him. And I want us to be reminded on this last Thursday, so much has already been said and taught and preached. It's important as we go back to where we serve, we finish the race that we run, that there are those who are coming behind us. There are men who are in heaven who we never met that have influenced us. They've set an example. Certainly there's men in heaven we have met and been an influence on us. But I'm thankful that in the difficult times, I'm thankful in the hard lines that they had to draw, in the separations from time to time they had to draw, that they always thought about those coming behind them. They always thought of those, and I remind myself that decisions I make today as the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church are going to have the greatest effect on those babies in that nursery. The decisions I make today, the Lord may call me home before they're my age, but the course I set this church, the course I set, I won't, by me keeping my faith, I'm preparing for the days ahead, not necessarily just my days ahead, but their days ahead. And so with that in context, we see some of the things that Paul tells Timothy. Paul was a forward thinker. Paul looked ahead. He remembered who was behind him. And I think back to some of the preaching that I was born in the 70s, so I wasn't aware of it. And some of the preaching in the 70s and 80s and even the 60s, as our country began to change, a lot of these preachers who would stand and preach, and people look at them funny and say, "That'll never happen in our schools." You know, boys dressing like girls and girls dressing like, that'll never happen in our schools. And they get labeled as an alarmist. And we got to be careful, but not be concerned with being labeled an alarmist. And what are those preachers, and what do we have a responsibility to do? To prepare those coming behind us for the days ahead. They warned, they preached, they looked through the prism of the Word of God. Most of them are not here today. They're already in glory. But they were warning to prepare those that were coming behind them. And they're labeled as alarm. Paul would have been called an alarmist. Paul, what in the world are you talking about? Why are you making such a big deal about these things? Why are you so alarmed? And he warns them, he warns Paul, warns all of us of what would come. We know this. Look in your Bible this morning in verse number, in chapter number 4. We know that he charges him, preach the word, be instant in season. We understand the purpose of preaching. He says from verse number 3, for the time will come. The time will come. He's saying, Timothy, it's coming. Of course, we know that it's still coming, and in many ways it's already here. They will not endure sound doctrine. And if Paul is preparing Timothy for what's going to come, we need to heed that. We also need to prepare those that are coming behind us for what is going to come. Doctrine, and I'm glad it was preached on this week, doctrine is something, there's always a pressure to minimize doctrine. Doctrine is everything. Well, you hear this now. Well, that's not a major doctrine. Okay, who gets to decide what is major and minor when it comes to what God has established? I don't want to put myself in that position. If God has preserved it in this book, we say, I believe the King James Bible is preserved forever, Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, that's minor. Well, if God preserves it all, it's not minor, it's major. And doctrine is an important thing. I'm afraid sometimes we separate over things that we should not separate over, but doctrine is not one of them. Doctrine is vital. There's always people would not, didn't say sound doctrine would not be available. It said they won't endure it. So we all have people, those of us that pastor, who they don't endure, but in the context of this, Paul is writing to his preacher, son in the faith, people will not endure. How many preachers have not endured sound doctrine? It's in it. It's why I have such great respect for those who have been preaching for so long, because they have endured sound doctrine. People change. Institutions change. Sadly, churches change. Friends change. You have to endure sound doctrine. Bible doctrine, of course, is the truth. This world doesn't like Bible doctrine. And so he says, people will not endure sound doctrine. You know this very well. He says they would seek teachers who appeal to their flesh. We like it because it feels good. It doesn't challenge living. We see this today. Come as you are. The sad thing is, they come as they are and they leave as they are. I don't mind people coming as they are. We all come to church as we are, but hopefully God does something and we all leave a little bit different. And I could have sent you a postcard and say, come to the preacher's life covers, come as you are. That's true of every meeting. But I hope we're all even different. They would seek teachers who appeal to their flesh. It mentions itching ears. An itch is a sensation that calls for scratching. It is a constant desire that is difficult to ignore. People want to feel good, so they want preaching or teaching that makes them feel good, not convicting. That's why preaching is so important. Don't change your preaching. Don't water down your preaching. It is meant to bring people to a decision. Well, that preaching just made me feel uncomfortable. I say this, and you men will understand what I mean. If there's a lost person that comes to our church, and I pray there is every single Sunday, they shouldn't feel comfortable. But we want the world to feel comfortable. I don't. Now, I will be kind to them and I will love them, but they should not feel comfortable if the Holy Spirit is there, if the Word of God is preached. They shouldn't. You remember when you walked into a church service? Marcus, were you comfortable that first Sunday you came? He was not. He was not comfortable. But he got saved that first Sunday he came, got baptized that Sunday. And I haven't been able to get rid of him since then. But I promise you, he's a tall guy. Well, how tall are you? 6'5"? 6'4"? Oh, you look bigger in person. But he's a wonderful. He comes in, and I meet him sitting on the second row. And he's sitting on the second. We're in the tent. We're having church in the tent on our other property. And he grew up Catholic school. And I believe he had a family member fussing at him in the parking lot because he was at a Baptist church, but he came because of a Baptist girl. You understand? Hey, well, he did too, so there's something, must be something about it, you know. Came in on the second row, but in that morning, I preached, and I just, everything was, I didn't know his background. I didn't even know who invited him. And Gus, the young lady who he was stalking, was in the choir and came down and sat with him. And I'm like, oh, good for Gussie. She invited a coworker. And I didn't know that he was asking her out. And he said, well, you can come to church with me. But then that morning, I preached against the Pope and the Catholic Church. I don't move much. I don't have ADHD like Brother Hopkins and these other ones. But that day, I came down off of the, and he's a tall guy. And I happened to glance over my shoulder one time, and you could barely see him. He had slunk so far down in the... It shouldn't be comfortable. It shouldn't be comfortable. But people want those itching ears. They want to appeal to their flesh. We know this. Many of you have been pastoring a lot longer than me. We're going to lose people to those kind of churches because people want their flesh. He's preparing him for what's going to come. Now, if Paul's warning Timothy what's going to come, we need to be reminded what's going to come, so we shouldn't be shocked by it. Well, the gospel doesn't work today. The faith is there's something wrong with what we've been taught. No, we've been told it's coming. Why are we surprised when it's here? There are going to be those who have those itching ears. They would turn their ears away from the truth. It's amazing, and I've already mentioned this, that to have a falling away, for those to give up the truth, they have to have it. When I was a young man, my father used to tell me, he says, you're always going to be making new friends because you'll have to. Because not everybody's going to stay with the truth. They give it up, and I couldn't understand it. No, you can't. If you have the truth, why would you give it up? That's still a good question. But it's true. He says they'll give up the truth. And we don't like that when we see people give up the truth. But he's warning Timothy of what's going to come. They'll be turned into fables. In 1 Timothy 4:7, Paul warns Timothy to refuse profane and old wives. Or not in 4:7, but he warns Timothy to refuse profane old wives' fables. A fable is a story to teach a truth. It could also be a story that teaches a lie. A fable is not true. Have you ever, I mean, you have, but have you looked at some of the things that some people believe today? It's like, you were Catholic. I mean, growing up in it, I'm sure it's different But I listen to some of the things that Catholic teaching, that Catholic doctrine, and I'm thinking, how do y'all believe this? But they believed a lot, and there are people who believe those lies. He says it's going to come. Paul knew the direction that people would take, so he tried to equip Timothy before he left. He gave four stern warnings. Let me give them to you. You know them. Just a reminder to all of us. He says, first of all, in verse number 5, but watch thou in all things. Just pay attention. It's been preached on this week. I can be influenced. There have been times in my ministry that I have felt the Lord has brought to my attention through meetings like this, through my own personal prayer time. I'm being influenced in a way that should not be influenced. We live in this world and we don't realize how much Fox News influences us, social media influences us, just being in this world system influences us. But you see, if you have a heart that you want to have love in your heart towards everybody, you want to accept people on face value, sometimes you find yourself being influenced. We got to be careful of our influence. The books, the internet. But I want to mention as a warning, gentlemen, there's a lot of bad doctrine coming into our churches because of the books the ladies are reading. If you don't know who they are, you ought to become familiar with at least enough. If you don't want to research, you're fine. Just write these names down and just preach against them every Sunday. You know, the Beth Moores, the Joyce Meyers. There's more than that, but we gotta be very careful. Most men don't like to read, or only read as much as they have to. Typically, ladies like to read more. Didn't Satan go to Eve first? Didn't he bring Eve false doctrine? And if you read that scripture very carefully, Adam was right there. It's not like Adam was in one part of the garden, Eve was in another part of the garden. Adam was there. He came to Eve with false doctrine. There's a lot of preachers who have softened their position and changed because of the books their wife started reading. And as men, we have a responsibility to control what goes on in our home, but as preachers, we have that responsibility as well. So he said, "Watch thou in all things." Well, Pastor, that's not a battle I want to fight. I don't want to fight it either, but I'm willing to fight it because I don't want people to be hurt by it. Watch thou in all things. Pay attention. Pay attention. It's okay to be suspicious. It's okay to be suspicious. That doesn't sound right. I think I'm just, it's okay. He's a brother. Yeah. You ever get in fights with your brothers? It's okay to be suspicious. Now, next he tells him to endure afflictions. Affliction comes with doctrine. Paul had been betrayed, jailed, and would be executed. Can I just say this? I know it's 9:25 in the morning and we're barely awake this morning. But can we stop whining about how hard it is? I mean, I don't know if you are, but just generally speaking. Well, it's so hard to be a Christian in 2020. It's so hard to be fun. It's so hard to be, all of us in here have paid a price to stand where we stand in some regard or another. But I'm not sitting in a prison cell waiting execution this morning. Now, we got issues in our country, but we still assembled freely this morning. We have to endure the afflictions. It says, do the work of an evangelist. I circled that word, do. Do the work of an evangelist. The purpose of our faith is to carry out the Great Commission's work. Why is it important? Because that we hold doctrine. One, because God has established that. It's right. It's true. But it's salvation. It's reaching the world with the gospel. How is it that we can, where's the logic in, let's align with people who do not believe salvation to reach the world? How do we align with Calvinism to reach the world? And we're having we want to reach the world, and you have Calvinists come in, or those who are friendly to Calvinists, those who pass off books that have Calvinism in them. Isn't that like an oxymoron? But Calvinists don't believe the world can be saved? Y'all do know Calvinism's wrong, right? Okay, just making sure. We need to keep our focus on what we've been challenged this week. I've been challenged this week on keeping the faith, but we need to keep the faith so that we can reach the world. It's not enough just to stand and wave our King James Bible and say we have the faith. We should do that. We keep it so that we can go reach the world with the gospel. We can reach people. He says, this is where I want to spend the remainder of my time. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's use of the word full indicates that it encompasses more than just one thing. To make full proof of his ministry, Timothy would need to do three things. Let me remind you, Paul, it was important for him to fight the good fight. It was important for him to finish his course. It was important for him to keep the faith. He's going to meet Jesus. He knows it. That crown, he knows. And he says, in all of those, everybody who has served it, he has served and been faithful, he knows. But he's preparing for the days ahead, not his days ahead. Those have already been prepared, as Brother Sellers preached yesterday. Those have already been prepared. His crown was waiting for him because of what he had already done. He's preparing for the days ahead for those coming behind him. And he says, make full proof, and he warned. That's why there's warnings. And we have to warn, because there's some things that with God as my helper, I've settled. I don't believe with God as my helper, I'll ever give them up. You know why? I'm not revisiting them. I'm not going back and saying, well, was it right? If it was right then, it's right now. If it was truth then, it's truth now. And there's too many giving their faith up because they have some scorner come and get them to revisit why they believe what they believe. There's some things I'm never revisiting. I'm not revisiting them. They're the truth. So, but it's important because of those that are coming behind us. And he says, you come behind, make full proof of thy ministry. He needed to fight a good fight. He needed to finish his course. He needed to keep the faith. That sums it all up. And a lot of times, men who have been faithful, they get labeled as alarmists. And, man, they just draw the lines there. And they do that, well, which we all should. They understand the importance of finishing. They understand the importance of those that are coming behind. He's not looking behind. He was preparing that next generation. Now, when he says make full of the fight, he says fight a good things. Fight a good fight. Man, I'm sure you have, but have you ever thought about what you'll fight for? I'm not getting on the internet and fighting about anything. Spiritual, political, whatever. That's dumb. It's a waste of time. I was on there the other day. I just happened to get on there, and there's Don Chitty just blasting people on the internet. Just, no. There really is no internet in New Mexico. That's what we keep telling him. There's no internet in New Mexico. There's no internet. There's some things I'll fight for. I'll fight for my Savior. I'll fight for my Savior. I'm so thankful for the influences I was under as a young man and the preaching I heard along this line to decide. I'll fight for my Savior. I'm not fellowshipping. I'm not going to join in a prayer breakfast with those who believe there's more power in the Catholic Church than in Jesus Christ. I'm not doing it. I'll fight for my Savior. I'll fight for my Bible. You know, it's amazing. You don't have to go looking for fights. They come to you. I mean, if you think the NIV or something else is the Word of God, then go about your business. But when you come to tell me that my Bible is not the perfect Word of God, we have a problem with that. I'll fight for my Bible. I'll fight for my faith. I'm not a Baptist out of convenience. As a matter of fact, it's been very inconvenient to be an independent Baptist. I'm a independent Baptist out of conviction. I'll fight for that. I'll fight for my independence. I'll fight for you to have the right to be independent, but I'll also fight for my own independence. Have you ever decided you'll fight for that? Say, Pastor, now why have you taken some of the positions and stand you've taken? Because I decided a long time ago, I'm fighting for my independence. I'm fighting for my faith. I'm fighting for my church. I'm fighting for the Word of God. It doesn't matter who it is. These are things I'll fight for. What I fight for determines what or who I fight against. Another thing my dad used to say when I was young, and I'm like, oh, you old guys. It's going to be different. He said, if you're going to stay true to that book, you will never have to look for a fight. So good, because I'm not looking for one. He says, they will come find you. If you determine to be independent, he says, enemies and friends alike will come to take your independence. And I have men I love, but I'm independent. You know, if God, how many of you are a pastor of a church right now? You're a pastor of a church. God is not going to answer your prayer by coming to me and telling me what to do in your church. He's not going to do it. What I fight for determines what or who I fight against. I want to reach the world. We're to pray for our enemies. We're to love our enemies. It's a thought that I remind myself, and the Lord reminds me all the time of that upper room revival. I preached on it again recently, and how that those Christians were up there, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, was up there, praying for the power, so that the church could go win the very people who just crucified her son. But we hate Democrats, don't we? We stand where we ought to stand. But if they bring the fight, if they're gonna come try, I love them, pray for them, try. That's why I try and take some of the positions I take. And if I'm an alarmist for it, that's fine. But because I want to win them. Now you come and try and take my Bible and tell me I can't meet, or tell me I can't preach this book, or that's hate speech. Well, you've decided that you want to fight. I didn't decide that. If the Baptist brethren want to get together and say, this is what we think, or you shouldn't be doing this, or you shouldn't have this person, or you shouldn't do this or that, okay, I haven't come looking for it. You have come to me, and now you've decided you want to fight me. I didn't look for it. Well, I don't get involved. Believe it or not, I don't get involved either. It comes. And you men could testify this. You could testify this. I'm just loving the brethren, preaching to my people. And there's somebody out there that they come and say, well, Pastor, this is what I think we ought to do. Well, okay, now, I haven't picked that fight. Who was it that said it last night? You know, our daddy said, you know, don't you start a fight. But you better not run from one. My family, I'll fight for my family, using an illustration. You say, who will you fight for your family? Anybody. Better question is, who won't I fight for my family? If somebody were to break into my house in the middle of the night, one of us is not leaving. And because of my good friend, Brother Terrell Hopkins, what was provided to me last year at this time, I'm a little more equipped to say that the chances are better that he's not leaving if somebody were to break into my house. But why? Because there's things we ought to fight for. It's chosen for me. When God saved me, some fights were brought to me. When God called me to preach some of these battles, he said, I fought a good fight. They were already determined for me. When I got way down in my heart, it became a conviction, this is the inspired, perfect Word of God. The fight was determined for me. when I realized the autonomy of the local church and the independence, some fights were fought. That doesn't just mean outside influence. It means inside influence as well. As I preached Tuesday night, the pulpit decides the direction. The teen group don't decide the direction. The deacons don't decide the direction. There's no ministry that decides the direction. That's inside and outside. My faith, the fight was already determined. He finished his course. He was faithful to the end. I love what's been said and alluded to several times, the reminder that all of us who are preachers, and it does say it here again, he says, I finished my course. All of our courses are different. And if I've done anything right in following my pastor, my father who pastored for 32 years, we believe the same, but we are two different people. Some of you got a little bit of insight when he said that he was a policeman for a little while. Explains a lot. And that was back in the day before everybody had a cell phone. So doors got kicked in before, you know what I'm saying. But my personality is different. I never tried to be him. I determined to be me. And that's what all of us have to do. I love to hear Brother Terrell preach. I'm not Brother Terrell. Thank you, Lord. No. I'm not Don Chitty. I'm not Terry Sellers. And we could go on and on and on and on. Well, I want to finish my course. What God has for me is to be the pastor of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I believe iron sharpeneth iron. When I go to one of these men's churches or somebody else's, I look for things that they're doing. I look for different ideas. I look for different programs and big days and things of that nature. I'm always wanting to do that to sharpen me to see how that's the way they do that is that's a good idea. And I want to always do that. But I'm never going to go to a ministry and say, man, I got to preach like that. I got to act like that. I got to do that because I want to finish my course. My course. And what God may tell you to do in your church, He may not have me do it the same way in my church. It's my course. I'm afraid we get distracted and we don't think of those coming behind us, as Paul warned Timothy. We get too concerned with the way somebody else is running their course, and we're not focusing on finishing our course. I want to finish my course. I want to do what it is that God has for me. I want to fulfill God's plan for me. I want to keep the faith. Let's just as a quick reminder, to be reminded about that faith. The book of Jude reminds us it was once delivered to the saints. It's precious because of what it is. It's precious because there's only one. Once delivered. You hear this today, it's not new because there's nothing new under the sun, but you hear independent Baptists talking about it more and more. Well, that's what these people believe, but I believe this. Hold on. How many Bibles are there? How many faiths are there? Once delivered. It's precious because of its, to use the terms in an investment mindset, its scarcity. There's one faith, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been once delivered. That's the faith that I am. I'm not looking for a new faith. Men, let's not look for a new faith. The idea of it being passed from faithful men to faithful men. As a preacher, I'm thankful for those preachers that have gone on before me, many who influenced me that are in heaven now. I'm thankful that they were faithful and they had a faith that was passed on that I could take. And it's my responsibility to be faithful. You think about this. I already mentioned it, on Tuesday. Paul got the faith from Jesus Christ. He handed it to Timothy. He reminds Timothy, this is where I got it. Of who? And Paul said, you remember, why did Paul always remind Timothy? One of the reasons I think is because of why you should be, remember my testimony. Remember what I have done. Remember the endurance that I have, because Timothy knew Paul got it from Jesus. And Timothy got it and passed on. And lo and behold, here we are. It's our responsibility, we know this, to pass 2 Timothy 2:2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men And this faithful men, it's up for us to be faithful with it and to hand it to others. Paul is looking ahead to that crown. Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be in the presence of our Savior. And all of the endurance and all of the battles, we don't do it perfectly. We're limited by our flesh. It's been said many times, I'm sure I've said it, that we get into His presence, obviously we're going to fall on our faces. But no matter what we did for Him, we're going to wish we had done more. I believe that's true. Before the Son of God, to have a crown, to acknowledge the battles we did fight, the faith we did keep, just the finish, well, that's something to look ahead to. We worry about who we have to answer to down here. We ought to be worried about who we're answering to up there. Well, if I do this, I'm never going to be able to. Well, if I do this, I'm going to be ashamed. If I don't hold this, I'm going to be ashamed. But he's looking ahead, not for himself. He's already decided. He's already run his race. I can be completely honest with you. There's battles that, personal things that my family has endured. We know what it's like to lose a child. And there's sometimes I'm just like, I said I'm an independent Baptist by conviction. It's sad when lost people treat you better than independent Baptists do. And sometimes it's like, but you know what I think about? I think about those kids in the nursery. I think about the teenagers who are in our church. I think about the little bit of influence I do have with some young preachers. I think about that, and I was like, you know, there's people coming behind me. Let it be, let whatever be said, but let it never be said, I quit on God. I gave up my faith. Well, you, they're just mean-spirited. Well, you can call me mean-spirited, you can call me whatever you want, but I don't ever want to be called an apostate. Now, if you want to get in the flesh, that'll end that conversation very quick. Well, you're just apostate. I can't believe. It's amazing, men, if you call a backslider, how offended they get. You can call them anything you want to call them. You can. We're just a backslider. He called me a backslider. It's probably because it hit right there. But let's be faithful. Remember those that are coming behind us. You young men that are in here. You don't think of this as much now. You're still a teenager. You're a young adult. Does it really? No, there's somebody coming behind you. There's somebody coming behind you. I'm unique in this perspective that I'm pastoring the church that I grew up in. That's a unique thing. We have a unique relationship. But I thank God I get to pastor those now who had an influence in me growing up. Those who were faithful to invest in me. And now their children, in many instances their grandchildren, I get to pastor. And they didn't think about that when they were just teaching that Sunday school class. They didn't think about that when they were faithfully serving their post. And we all ought to think about that there are some coming behind us, and as Paul was looking for, that's just a thought that grabs me. He wasn't preparing for his days ahead. He's preparing for those behind us. Aren't we thankful this morning for those that have gone on before us? And they were faithful so that we have what we have. I like being King James Bible. I like being an independent Baptist. I like it. You can feel sorry for me all you want. I like it. You're an independent. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Okay. Let's stay true to the Word of God.